Captain at Midnight, brought to you every day, Monday through Friday, by the makers of Ovaltine, the world's largest selling food drink. Now, millions of people are taking a food drink to get their extra vitamins because they seem to agree that it's the pleasantest, easiest way to get the extra vitamins they need. And if you're one of these people, I'm sure you'll be glad to know this. No other popular food drink on the market gives you as complete a range of vitamins as Ovaltine. Yes, that's true, and it's very important, because Ovaltine is the only popular food drink that is fortified with vitamin C. No other supplementary food drink you can buy is fortified with this absolutely necessary vitamin. In fact, here's how important vitamin C is. It's essential to maintain healthy gums, teeth, and bones, and you should get it every day for perfect health. You can't store it up in your system. Now, in some forms, vitamin C is very expensive, so you can see there's a real advantage in getting vitamin C in Ovaltine. You get it as a bonus, along with all the other essential vitamins and important minerals. Other popular food drinks you might buy don't contain vitamin C. In fact, some of them fail to supply 2, 3, or even more of the essential vitamins and important minerals in significant amounts. But when you ask for Ovaltine, you get them all, including vitamin C. So for the most complete of all popular food drinks, most complete in essential vitamins, minerals, and important basic food elements, be sure to ask for Ovaltine, the only popular food drink that gives you a bonus of vitamin C. So get a jar of Ovaltine today. And be sure to have pencil and paper ready right after tonight's adventure, when we'll have another big secret squadron signal session. And now, on with the action-packed adventure, The Slave Smugglers, with Captain Midnight and the Secret Squadron. Aboard the fishing boat, called the Bessie Ann, lying at anchor near a small Maine village, Captain Midnight accused Shelby, the owner of the vessel, of accepting an offer to join forces with a mysterious fleet of smugglers working out of the nearby town of Batesville. When Captain Midnight, who rightly suspects that the smuggling activities are connected with a gigantic plot against the United States, heard that Shelby was completely unknown in Batesville, he hit upon a brilliant and dangerous scheme: to pass himself off as Shelby and Chuck as his son. Now, it is 2 hours later, and the Bessie Ann has docked at Batesville. A heavy fog blankets the waterfront. From far out on the sea can be heard the weird, monotonous croak of a foghorn sounding its ghostly warning. At length, four shadowy figures appear on the deck of the small fishing boat. They lower the gangplank, but only two of them descend it, while the other two stand at the rail watching their comrades disappear into the enveloping mist. It is Captain Midnight and Chuck who are groping their way along the dock, moving slowly, cautiously, in the direction of the dim yellow lights that mark the heart of the village, where they expect to find McGrath in the tavern called the Night Owl. Listen as Captain Midnight says.
Wait, watch our step, Chuck. There's no reason why we shouldn't get away with this deception. Shelby swore that no one in this village knows him. So there'll be no one to say that I'm not he and you're not my son.
And in these outfits, Elenis, we sure look like fishermen.
Right. In addition to that, we know the password that McGrath will be expecting us to say.
In the service of the chief.
That's it. So you see, Chuck, we've got the odds in our favor. Unless something unforeseen happens, there's no reason why McGrath should suspect us.
Oh, I'll have to keep reminding myself that my name's Chuck Shelby and that you're my father.
Just stay quiet unless he talks to you. Let me handle the deal.
Okay, sir. This must be Main Street we're running into here.
Yeah, looks that way. One of those signs up there is probably the Night Owl. On your toes now, Chuck. From here on in, we're in danger. One false move and it may cost us our lives.
At this very instant, in a small, shabby room in the rear of the tavern called the Night Owl, a stocky, heavy-set figure with a jutting jaw and several days' growth of beard is seated at a table, idly shuffling a pack of cards. He seems to be waiting for something. At length, he raises his narrow, bloodshot eyes sharply. Someone's tapping at the door. It is the familiar signal, one knock, then two, then one, that identifies a member of Ivan Shark's organization. The man at the table calls out softly.
That you, Ace?
Yeah, it's me.
All right. Come in.
McGrath, listen.
Shut the door, chump. Want to tell the whole joint about it?
Okay.
You're dripping wet, Ace. Where you been?
Out on the cliff. Fog out there, sick as soup. I've got news for you, McGrath.
You've been out at the transmitter. You picked up a message from the chief?
Yeah, how'd you know?
What else would you been doing on the cliff, stupid?
The batch he was expecting come in this afternoon. They're on the island now. You're to have at least one boat out there tonight to pick up a load.
Tonight? Where does he get that stuff tonight?
Take it easy, McGrath.
What's the big lug think I do, manufacture these boats?
Watch it. Remember, you're talking about the chief. Ain't you got none available?
Not tonight, I haven't. The two that were supposed to be on duty are laid up in the yards, getting repaired.
Well, you better dig one up, McGrath. The chief will slit your throat if you don't send one out there for a morning. What about this new guy Finch lined up for you? He was due in here tonight, wasn't he?
He ain't showed yet.
It's still early. Maybe he will. What was his name?
Shelby.
Yeah, that's right, Shelby. Got his own boat, ain't he?
Supposed to have.
Well, if he comes in, you have to send him out, it's all.
I don't like it, Ace. I don't like sending a guy out on a job before I had a chance to check on him.
You ain't got no choice, McGrath. It's him or nobody.
How'll I know if he's all right?
You can tell when you talk to him, can't you?
Maybe.
Finch said he's all right, didn't he?
Finch could be wrong, too.
Yeah, Ace.
This guy, Shelby, he ain't the only one we hired from up there at the next village, is he?
I don't know, McGrath.
Why don't you? You ought to know.
I can't keep track of the little bugs all these mugs comes from.
Well, find out.
How can I?
Start making the rounds, that's how. Check on all the boys in town here. If any of them know Shelby, send them over. I want to ask him a few questions. I ain't ordering nobody out to Nameless Island unless I'm sure he's okay. Now get going, Ace, and make it quick.
Scarcely has the man called Ace departed from the room, scarcely has McGrath settled down to his game of solitaire, when there's another knock. A knock of a different kind at the door. And this time, McGrath pushes back his chair, crosses the room, and admits a man and a boy, Captain Midnight and Chuck Ramsey.
Well, what do you want?
We're looking for a fellow named McGrath.
Yeah? Why?
You him?
What if I am?
My name's Shelby.
Who's the kid?
That's my boy. Brung him along to help out.
Finch didn't say nothing to me about bringing a boy.
Well, I didn't say nothing to him. Just thought of it at the last minute.
Yeah? Well, suppose the boy gives me the password.
Sure. In the service of the chief.
That's it, ain't it?
Yeah, that's it. All right, come on in, both of you. Sit down. How much you know about this setup we got here, Shelby?
Don't know a thing, except what Finch told me.
Uh-huh. So why'd you take the job?
Pays $500 a month, don't it?
That's right. You bring your boat with you?
Sure. Finch said I've been needing it.
What's the name of your boat, Shelby?
Bessie Ann, why?
Just wanted to see if it's the same name Finch gave me.
You ain't thinking that maybe I ain't Shelby.
I'm not thinking anything. Got any identification papers on you?
Right here.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they look okay. How good a sailor are you?
Well, I've been fishing these waters for a long time, McGrath. You never had no trouble?
There's a bad fog tonight. Think it might give you trouble?
Not a bit. Was you thinking of sending us out someplace tonight?
Maybe. I'm caught short-handed, and I may have to.
Well, we're setting raring to go. Just say the word. Right, son?
Darn right we are, Pa.
Ever hear of Nameless Island?
Heard of it, yeah.
Ever been there?
No, can't say I have. Kind of an out-of-the-way spot, ain't it?
It's got to be out of the way for what's going on there.
Yeah? What's that?
You ask a lot of questions, don't you, pal?
Like to know what I'm getting into.
Why?
Do a better job.
Not particular about what you get into, are you?
How do you mean?
Well, take the Coast Guard, for instance. What do you think of them?
Ain't so sold on him that I'd be against slipping one over on him.
Thought you didn't know nothing about this job.
There's no law against guessing, is there? I've been guessing ever since I talked to Finch. Looks like I guessed right.
Yeah, looks like you did. All right, Shelby, you'll do.
You hiring me?
Pending a little investigation I'm making, yeah.
What kind of investigation?
Never mind that.
But I want to know
I said never mind that. You're hired and you start working tonight. It's all you've got to worry about.
What do I do?
You make the trip out to Nameless Island.
And after I get there?
There'll be something waiting there for you. You take it on board and bring it back. And you don't let no Coast Guard cutter spot you. How many men can your boat hold, Shelby?
Oh, guess it could squeeze 25 or 30 on it.
Good.
This cargo, it ain't men, is it?
I didn't say it was.
No, but you kind of hinted it might be.
Let it go at that, then. It might be.
Well, in that case, Mr. McGrath...
Wait a minute, Shelby. Hold it. Somebody at the door. That you, Ace?
Yeah, that's me.
Now we'll get the score on that little investigation I was talking about. Come on in, Ace. Well, what's the word, Ace?
I found one, McGrath. You ain't seen him for a couple of years, but he remembers him.
Good. Where is he?
Waiting right outside the door.
Bring him in.
Okay, McGrath.
Who's coming in? What's this all about?
Just double-checking on you, Shelby. Don't get excited.
Double-checking how?
I sent Ace out to find a fellow from your hometown. Wanted him to identify you, that's all. Looks like he dug one up, too. Here he comes now.
And as the door to the back room opens, Captain Midnight and Chuck glance at each other in suspense and anxiety. This is a development they hadn't counted on. A man who knows the real Shelby personally. A man who can identify them as imposters. Will he reveal the truth to McGrath? And if he does, how can the secret squadron leader and his young agent escape from their desperate predicament? Don't miss tomorrow's thrill-packed adventure, The Edge of Doom. And now, clear the airways. Stand by. The secret squadron signal session is on the air. Now, tonight we have a thrilling secret code message from Captain Midnight. And every secret squadron member who has that swell Captain Midnight codograph can work it out in a hurry. Now, here's tonight's message. An exciting clue about tomorrow's adventure in code A1. First word. 21. 25. 18. 15. 6. 25. Second word. 7. 14. Third word. 2. 12. 25. Fourth word. 15. 24. 16. 9. 9. That's all. Now set your whistling codograph for code A1 and figure out the secret clue to tomorrow's adventure. And listen regularly for more of these exciting secret squadron signal sessions. And say, remember those swell contests in your secret squadron handbook with cash prizes and wonderful new portable radio prizes? Better get busy. Enter those contests right away and win some swell prizes yourself. Remember, too, each secret squadron member who enters a contest receives a gift from Captain Midnight. So look on page 14 in your Secret Squadron handbook for the contest rules and get busy right away. Tune in tomorrow, same time, same station, to Captain Midnight. Until then, this is your Ovaltine announcer, Tom Moore, saying goodbye and happy landing.
The preceding program came to you transcribed from Chicago. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Captain Midnight, brought to you every day, Monday through Friday, by the makers of Ovaltine, the world-famous food drink. Now, if you're taking a food drink to get extra vitamins, naturally you want to get the food drink that contains all the essential vitamins. So you'll be interested in this. Ovaltine is the only popular food drink that is actually fortified with vitamin C. No other popular fortified food drink on the market contains this important vitamin. But when you ask for Ovaltine, you get vitamin C, as well as the other essential vitamins that may be deficient in ordinary food. And you can see how important it is to get vitamin C when you buy a food drink. As you know, vitamin C is absolutely essential to good health. It's necessary to maintain healthy gums, bones, and teeth.
And it's one of the essential vitamins you can't store up in your system. You should get a new supply every day. Now, in some forms, vitamin C is very expensive. But when you ask for Ovaltine, you get vitamin C as a bonus, along with all its other essential vitamins, minerals, and important basic food elements. In fact, if you're a normal person, 2 glasses of Ovaltine daily in normal meals give you plenty of vitamin C, as well as enough of every other essential vitamin for buoyant health and keen vitality. So if you're taking a food drink to get your extra vitamins, why not change to Ovaltine? You get vitamin C as a bonus. It's one of the many extra benefits you get when you drink Ovaltine. So be sure to get a jar of Ovaltine today. And now, we begin a new and action-packed adventure, The Map of Mystery. Though Captain Midnight has been given up for lost, his 3 chief agents, Chuck Ramsey and Joyce Ryan and Ichabod Mudd, now co-commanders of the Secret Squadron, are carrying on the battle against Ivan Shark and his race of slaves, the battle which will determine the fate of America. Arriving by plane in Uberaba, Brazil, they went straight to the chief of police and obtained the map describing the location of the Valley of the Lost People. Meanwhile, however, Shark himself had landed at the ranch outside of town. And having learned from Pedro da Silva that the map was in the hands of the Secret Squadron agents, he brutally killed the Brazilian and then devised a diabolical scheme for regaining possession of it. Now, in the living room of the hacienda, the international criminal has been describing to his daughter Fury the trap by which he hopes to capture his enemies. Listen as Fury inquires anxiously.
But, Father, are you quite sure that the Secret Squadron agents never met this man, da Silva?
Quite, my dear. If they had, then, of course, my little stratagem would fail. Everything depends on their believing that our Lieutenant Gomez is actually da Silva.
You've sent Gomez into the city to find them, then?
Yes. Doubtless he has already arrived by now.
But what was he to tell them?
Why, he was merely to introduce himself to them as Senor Pedro da Silva, the man on whose estate one of our jet-propelled planes fell. The man who had the presumption to steal the map of the valley and turn it over to the police.
And the man who lies dead out there in the courtyard now.
Precisely. Though, of course, the Secret Squadron agents have no way of knowing that. They will welcome Gomez with open arms. Then they will meet the same fate that their leader met. And before this day is over, I promise you.
You mean, Father, that Gomez will lure them out here?
Exactly.
But they'll be eager to leave for the valley, Father, now that they know where it is. What pretext can he possibly use to delay them?
An infallible pretext, my dear. He will tell them that Ivan Shark is here.
What? You...
Yes. Or I should say, the body of the late Ivan Shark.
Oh, so that's it. He'll say that you were in the plane that crashed.
At least that he believes I was. He can't be sure. So the Secret Squadron agents had better come out and identify me.
Well, they won't be disappointed, Father. They'll find you here, all right.
Yes, but not exactly dead, my dear. In fact, very much alive. Alive and ready for them.
And at the moment, it seems very much as if Ivan Shark's confidence is justified, as if his plans are destined to succeed. For as we know, the arch-criminal's henchman, Gomez, has already found the Secret Squadron agents in their hotel room in Uberaba, and without an instant's hesitation, they have accepted him as their friend and ally, Senor Pedro da Silva. Now, at the imposter's suggestion, they are leaving the hotel to accompany him to the ranch where the arch-criminal eagerly awaits them. As they enter the automatic elevator to descend to the lobby, Chuck exclaims apprehensively.
Lupa, Loops, I'd be a lot happier if I weren't carrying these papers around with me.
You mean the maps, Chuck?
Yeah, I stuck them in my pocket when Senor da Silva here knocked on the door and I've still got them.
Oh, that ain't too good, Chuck. They're too valuable to be toting around.
Oh, but I would not worry if I were you, Senor Ramsey. Surely they will be safe at my ranch.
I don't know. Maybe I ought to stick them in the hotel safe.
No, Senor, that would be a mistake.
Why would it be?
Well, you see, that would mean you would have to come all the way back here to the city after you leave my ranch.
Well, we're going to have to do that anyway, ain't we? We got to get our plane.
Si, but there is a shortcut from the ranch to the airfield. It will save you much time if you do not have to return to the hotel.
Oh. Well, if that's the case, I guess I'll take the maps along.
Yeah, well, maybe you better, Chuck. Because whether it's Shark's body or not, we're going to want to move fast as soon as we've identified it.
Good. I am so glad you have decided to bring the maps along. I think it will be best that way. Best for everyone.
A
half hour later, they are speeding along the open highway when Icky, sitting in the front seat next to Shark's lieutenant, remarks thoughtfully,
"You know, it'd be a funny thing if this guy out at your ranch does turn out to be Shark."
"In what way funny, Senor Mott?"
"Well, I'm thinking of Captain Midnight. It's only a couple of days now since... well, since... you know."
"Since he has died, eh?"
"Yeah, that's what I mean. I still can't get used to saying it somehow."
"And it is a strange coincidence that Shark should die so soon afterward. Is that your idea?"
"Yeah, that's it."
"I've been thinking the same thing, Icky. Gosh, each one trying to get the other for years and years, and then both of them dead within a few hours."
"But we don't know that Shark's dead, Chuck. This may not be he at all."
"I think I can almost promise you you will see Ivan Shark at my ranch, senorita."
"You're pretty sure it's him then, huh, De Silva?"
"Si, senor Mott. I am almost entirely sure. You will not be disappointed."
"Jeepers, if it is, what do we do then? Do we go back to Washington? Or do we head for the homeland of the lost people?"
"I think that'll be up to Major Steele, Joyce. We'll report to him by radio and let him decide, huh?"
"Yeah, you're right, Icky, but I bet I know what his decision will be. He'll say, head on down to the Antarctic and see what's cooking. Hey, how come you're slowing down, senor?"
"We have almost reached our destination. The hacienda lies just beyond the next curve in the road."
"Yeah? Then we must be on your estate already, huh?"
"Yes, si, senor Mott. We've passed the property line some time back."
"Hey, that's funny."
"What do you mean, senor?"
"Well, what are them guys doing up there in the middle of the road?"
"What?"
"I figured that they must be one of the county road gangs or something, but they wouldn't be patching a private drive."
"Ah, but you see, senor, they are my own servants. I have given them orders only this morning that I want this repairing done."
"Well, gosh, are they deaf or what? They're not even starting to move out of the way."
Perhaps I had better sound my horn."
"Hey, hold on a minute. Stop the car, pal."
"Oh, what is the matter, senor?"
"That's a screwy way to honk on a horn."
"Yeah, I heard it too, Icky. One and two and one."
"Gee, to me, the signal of Ivan Shark's organization."
"But surely you do not think,
senor..." "Never mind what we think. Stop the car, I tell you."
"Do what he says, De Silva. I've got a gun against your back."
"Very well, senor."
"Now climb out. Quick, pal."
"I will be happy to climb out, but it will do you no good. You are too late."
"What?"
"Please, and Beacons, he's right, Icky. Look at those guys now."
"Jeepers, those aren't picks and shovels they've got. They're Tommy guns."
"And they're drawing a bead on us."
"If you wish to fight it out with them, my friends, go right ahead. It will be a little uneven, however. Automatics against machine guns."
"They ain't going to open up on us as long as you're here, brother."
"You are mistaken, senor. They have orders to kill you at the slightest sign of resistance. Does not matter to Ivan Shark if he loses one of his lieutenants. I am sure you know that."
Then Shark is here at the ranch."
"Si, senorita, si. Not his body, of course, but he himself. He is waiting in the hacienda to greet you."
"Holy suffering catfish, did we stick our necks out?"
"You did exactly as the chief expected you to do."
"You're not the Silva at all, I'll bet."
"No, senor, I am not. My name is Gomez. I was assigned to lead you here, and I have fulfilled my assignment. The rest is up to you, my friends. Either you will go peacefully into the hacienda, or my comrades out there will carry you in after the bullets have ended your lives. Now, which will it be? You have your choice."
But, of course, the secret squadron agents have no choice. Looking through the windshield of the car, they can see the barrels of seven machine guns forming a semicircle across the road ahead. Knowing that it would mean certain death to resist at this moment, that it would only guarantee Ivan Shark's ultimate victory, they open the car doors... slowly, reluctantly climb out. Even as their feet touch the ground, their every sense is alert for some opportunity to escape. And in the minds of each of them is the same thought, the thought which Chuck murmurs in Joyce's ear as they march toward the hacienda, their hands above their heads, the Tommy guns pressing against their backs.
"We gotta think of Captain Midnight, Joyce. We've gotta figure out what he'd do. Oh, he'd get out of a jam like this, and so will we. We'll never avenge his death if we don't. So keep your eyes open."
So it is that a few moments later, a door swings open. Chuck and Joyce and Icky, still covered by the guns, enter the living room of the ranch house to be greeted by the snarling, mocking laughter of their archenemy, Ivan Shark.
"Look at them, Fury. The arrogant fools who thought they could outwit me without the help of their late leader. Did you seriously believe that you were equal to the task of conquering Ivan Shark? Did you?"
"Yes, we did, and what's more, we still think so, Shark."
"Indeed. And what will you use for brains, my friends? The only one of you who possessed any is dead. Without him, you are as helpless as newborn babes."
"Well, at least we all agree that he was a great man."
"That's more than I ever heard you admit when he was still alive, Shark."
"I am only too happy to admit it now that he is dead, Mud. And if I was able to dispose of him, think of what a simple matter it will be to rid myself of you.
It may not be as simple as you think, Chuck.
Listen to him, Fury. Here he stands, covered by enough machine guns to blast him to pieces. And he brags that it will be difficult to kill him. What will you do, Ramsay? Tear the guns out of the hands of my agents? Why, Captain Midnight himself could not save you now if he were alive.
Of course, they might not be in this predicament, Father, if he were alive.
True, my dear. I would not have dared to use such an obvious device to lure them out here. He would have seen through it, but not they. They walked into the trap without a moment's hesitation.
And maybe we'll walk out of it the same way, fish face.
Yes. You will not have the chance, Mud. Within 5 minutes, you will have joined your leader in oblivion.
Why 5 minutes, Father? Why not now?
We have only one piece of business to transact first, my dear. Ramsay.
Yeah? What do you want?
I believe you know what I want. The maps and the charts that were stolen from my agent's plane. Hand them over to me immediately. You hear me, Ramsay? I am waiting. Give me the maps and the charts at once. After that, I will give you and your comrades permission.
But Chuck Ramsay makes no move to hand the papers to Ivan Shark. Why not? We know that he's carrying them in the pocket of his uniform. Could he have some plan up his sleeve? Some idea by which he might save himself and his fellow agents from death? What could it be? Don't miss tomorrow's thrill-packed adventure, A Bargain for Betrayal. Now, if you're drinking a food drink regularly to get your extra vitamins, by all means, remember this. Of all popular food drinks, Ovaltine and only Ovaltine contains vitamin C. Yes, Ovaltine and only Ovaltine is fortified with vitamin C along with all its other essential vitamins. Many other well-known packaged food drinks you may buy fail to supply one or even more of these essential vitamins or minerals in significant amounts. So be sure to ask for Ovaltine, the most delicious and complete way to get your extra vitamins, including vitamin C. Tune in tomorrow, same time, same station, to Captain Midnight. Until then, this is your Ovaltine announcer, Tom Moore, saying goodbye and happy landing.
Captain Midnight reached you by electrical transcription and came to you from Chicago. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.